Has it begun? Hey, I don't make the rules. Whatever. This is number 69.
It's a good number. It's a good number. It's a solid number. Mm. We've reached 69.
Right. I got loads to talk about today. I hope you come along for the ride. I haven't done any Trans-Europe Express prep, though, so I'm just...
Don't worry. This week, as you can see, for who's listening, you go on YouTube. We're usually in a studio. Mitch has actually spent the entire week's budget on a autograph tour of Scunthorpe and the surrounding areas. So we haven't got a budget, so we're out in the studio.
I stayed in some lovely hotels, though. Mm. It was great. Yeah. Saw lots of the UK. Scunthorpe's great.
Mm. Nice.
Especially when you're in a top-class hotel.
We're just going to go to...
Winnersh.
We're just going to go to this
Bognor Regis. Sorry.
We know, yeah. We're going to go to this week's sponsor who pays the money. Oh, we haven't got one.
We haven't got a sponsor this week.
We haven't got a sponsor this week because...
So if you are interested in sponsoring the show...
We couldn't afford one.
DM us, message us, leave it in comments because we could really do with some sponsorship.
We need
money.
Sponsor. So, yeah, 69.
Yeah.
Good. Carry on. Good, 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 good.
Do we have to talk about this?
Arsenal Chelsea.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, it's interesting game, this one. Because I think it's come at the wrong time for both clubs.
Why for Chelsea?
They've been on the slip a little bit.
Nah, David Luiz stringing balls through is fine.
I'd argue, compared to early promise, I don't think Chelsea have been anywhere near the same level.
There's no dip in Hazard's form. It's just consistent.
Equal amount of assists.
That would anybody goal was yeah. spectacular.
They're not, I don't know, I think that Chelsea have... I still think they're not that fluid at the moment.
They've dropped.
They definitely dropped. I see what Luke's saying here. They've
I think from early promise when we were all saying, literally we were saying, everyone thinking Man City and Liverpool, no one thought Chelsea and they're title contenders this season. I think that's dropped off quite a bit.
Yeah, I said that about Arsenal.
Yeah, and Arsenal at the same. This is exactly it. I think they've both dropped off and they've dropped off at the same time. That's the drop off motion.
I think what happened in, a lot's been made of the fact that Chelsea don't have a real potent kind of out-and-out striker. Hazard's been playing up top. Mm. Morata kind of does it in fits and starts.
Erratic Morata.
Yeah. And I think what was happening, particularly looking in the Newcastle game on the weekend, Hazard was coming a lot deeper first half. He started to have much more impact when he wasn't coming so deep to pick up the ball, was playing a bit further up the field. But obviously you also lose that creativity that he brings when he's got someone who you can feed and play balls into and run off and so on. So it's one of those where it doesn't look like... I mean, what Sarri doesn't seem... I mean, he backs the system he plays. He backs the fact that Hazard's been playing up there and Giroud occasionally is coming in. Mm. It'll be interesting to see whether they do go to the market into the market for a striker. But I do think...
Today, isn't there?
It's yeah.
about this. It's...
I do think they look short at the moment, and they drew home to Southampton. They struggled there. Newcastle.
Yeah, they
didn't kill them off, but they did enough. But they're not looking that impressive.
But they won though, yeah.
They won.
They won. Yeah. Williams' goal was good.
Williams' goal was great.
The thing, the news today is that it looks as though they want to bring Gonzalo Higuain in. From Juventus. I know he's at AC, but it's Juventus.
Would you swap Higuain for Morata straight away?
Well, it looks like Morata's going to Atletico, where he started his career, because everyone has said about the Real Madrid link.
Yeah.
But he started his career at Atletico, and it looks like he's going there, and it looks like Chelsea are bringing in Higuain on loan. So essentially what they're going to be doing is buying out AC Milan's loan deal. So just buying them out of it, saying, look, we'll take him because he's, I've forgotten, what's the manager of AC Milan's name? Gattuso.
Gattuso.
Yeah. Escaped me then. He's come out and said, he's told me he wants to leave. He doesn't want to be at AC anymore.
Imagine walking in saying to Gattuso,
I don't want to be here anymore. And he actually, I don't want to be. He looks. He doesn't look in good physical condition at the minute, Higuain.
Yeah, I mean...
Are you surprised by that? What part of that? You said that with a straight face then, I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't look in...
What does that mean?
Watch it, he's odd.
No, that's not what he does. He's like a choice finisher. Yeah. He's just there. Well, he'll just finish for you. Give him, like, in front of goal.
I think that would be a decent swap for Chelsea because I've got a lot of time for Morata. He's had a great... I mean, he's been great. He'll go on and be great. Yeah. But it just hasn't happened for him at Chelsea. And it might be...
You pull the plug?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the time people do... They don't factor in... The fact that off the field stuff, settling into life, you know, anyone thinks that people just come over here and be fine, settle into the way of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be lots of those reasons as well as on the field stuff where it hasn't happened.
And if it doesn't click, you know, a footballer's career is just so finite. It's in that space. So if something's not clicking, then okay. Thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. Yes.
And he wouldn't be the first prolific striker to go to Chelsea and it just not happen. Shevchenko, Torres, people in the past.
People of the past.
Sometimes it doesn't happen. And do you know what?
Falcao as well went a lot Falcao. Is
So Higuain coming in, you know, why not? It might freshen it up.
Right, something which has got with Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Okay. With Hudson-Odoi, my point on this, it's been bothering me because I don't like how Chelsea are acting with this transfer.
Yeah, no,
it's
me
bothering
neither.
Me because me it's almost like they're saying to a young, very talented footballer, "We want you to stay here. We just don't want to play you."
Yeah,
it's like
what? And Chelsea have never done that before.
No, but this is the first. It's very, very clear that they're doing that. It's not like before. It was no one was interested in these young players as such. So Chelsea could keep them, and other clubs can keep them. But with Hudson-Odoi, Bayern have basically said we're willing to nearly break our transfer budget for him, and it's making Chelsea go, "Well, no, he's an important player for us.
Yeah,
you don't want to play him
or bring him on at the end of a game. Now. Yeah, you might get 20
it's
minutes.
It's very
as opposed to no
open
minutes.
This situation. And it's very
honestly.
I don't like it.
This is a choice example of that Chelsea business model when it comes into absorbing young players. So they're the first of their kinds to change the actual game when it comes to getting those properties like Monopoly. Across Europe, everywhere.
It's true. Like, they've done the same with Pulisic. You know, they're bringing in Christian Pulisic, who, interestingly, having watched him this season and last season, he's not actually been that good this season.
Yeah,
he's not been that good at all. He's not been anywhere near as important to Dortmund as Jadon Sancho has. Mm. Jadon Sancho's been far the most important player for Dortmund.
It's proper savvy business work, that is.
Pulisic is coming in and immediately going back out on loan. And it looks as though they just bought him because he was on a list and Liverpool were going to get him.
Yeah.
And Chelsea just went, no, eyes first.
Hey,
he'd have been perfect for this Liverpool squad, though.
That's business, right?
No, it's good. Do you think they'll keep Hazard this summer?
No.
I think they'll keep him to the end of the season, for sure.
Yeah,
the end
this
of the season,
though.
I think they'll keep him to the summer.
Do you think he
should have been in
summer?
Real Madrid last time. It's only because, events have just kept him at Chelsea for this season.
Yeah.
And he's actually motivated to play.
Okay.
So why not?
Two more things about this. Czech.
Yep.
Czech.
36.
Get a shout-out.
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 Be nice if he played, but you probably won't, really.
It wouldn't, because I'd prefer him to just go as he is.
In this game against Chelsea?
Yeah.
Come on, there's a... No, I know football isn't so
romantic.
He
should go out the right way. Hang on. Whoa, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not having him in the first
and
team.
He is only 36.
You will sing his praises at the start of the season as the leader and the captain.
No, absolutely.
And
don't get me wrong.
The Arsenal fan in the room. I wouldn't play him. It's nice he's retiring, but don't let him in
the best part of this whole thing is there's foresight, because he's a very intelligent guy, very switched on. He actually worked with Arsene Wenger in the time he was there. He actually has looked ahead of where he wants to be, and he says, "I can't do this forever. However, I want to bed in," and he wants to put everything into the coaching or behind the scenes work of Arsenal.
He'll
and that's a lovely
exactly
thing.
As well.
He's a very seemingly. Met him, but he seems like a thoroughly nice chap. And,
yeah, absolutely. He's highly intelligent. He speaks several languages. He's phenomenal.
Ryan Mason was coming out this week as well, saying he'd helped him after his brain injury.
Yes,
that he had,
so. Absolutely huge. That's a hell of a career.
Can
he's won everything you could possibly do.
Can I get one more shout out before we move on?
Cess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
shout out.
What was your shout out?
Cess Fabregas.
Yeah.
Not the people on Twitter who I assumed I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
The way that they act.
Black and white photos was like, what's going on? Come on.
He's like, legend. Legend, Cess. Legend. He's only moving to France. He's not.
Do you know what
he's going to, you know, to a pretty famous team. He's not going to
Monaco. I'm pretty sure that like AC Milan will probably just snap him up for a little last go.
Cess Fabregas.
He's not going anywhere.
Genuinely wouldn't. He's got a 3-year contract at Monaco. Yeah. If he stays there the entire time, yeah, him showing up.
Because what is he, 32?
He's 33, I believe.
Young 33 then.
Young,
just,
maybe
not just
33. 30. He might be 31. I don't know. He's 31 30s.
Because he's just been with us our entire like.
Okay, say early 30s career, then.
Since he was 16.
It wouldn't surprise me. Do you know what else I don't think? David Beckham opens FC Miami shortly. I can imagine Cess having. Yeah, I fancy a bit of that. The end of my career.
Over there.
He'll join Cristiano Ronaldo, who inevitably will be their first.
All right, someone summarise this little section.
Arsenal are playing Chelsea on the weekend, and they're both a bit rubbish at the minute.
Huddersfield, Man City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First game for Huddersfield without Mr. Wagner.
Oh,
yeah, the X Factor guy.
Will there be the bingo? The bingo of as soon as a manager leaves. Is he either going to go?
Do you know what that sound is?
What's that?
That's the sound shackles. Of a new manager bounce that Huddersfield are hoping for. But will they get it?
Will I thought it's the sound of shackles off.
Well, they got a pretty tough game to get that. It's a tough game.
It's a write off. Let's face it.
It was a
absolute write off.
Do you know what? I think the.
I think Man City could. It'll be like that Simpsons meme of stop it, he's already dead.
I think that there we are, that's our post.
It's gonna be, yeah, that's it. That's it's our, just I was
like before and like before it.
Huddersfield, all of them, just the players just lying on the floor.
Do you know what though? Huddersfield, they haven't got that like a bad squad when you look at it and you see the potential in those players. It just hasn't worked out. But the other thing is, Huddersfield always performed above and beyond what they should have actually been. So there should be a lot more credit
for
Wagner.
The fact that they're in the Premier League means that they've overachieved.
Yeah.
You know,
Cardiff though. Look at that. It just ended in an outrageous, like Cardiff didn't have a shot on target when they played Huddersfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's just where'd you go.
I know, I think Huddersfield are. Yeah, Wagner's done an amazing job. They've overachieved for a while, and I think. But I mean, I think people have understood the fact that he's done an amazing job. And it's interesting to
tell me the quote from the press conference. Like, I'm the press. You're Dean Boyle.
Right. The worst
bit. walk me through
the worst bit that I found.
Mitch is just doing this.
Am I doing the Dean? Hi,
Dean.
I'm
the press.
Okay.
Hi, Dean. This is press.
As
conference.
I have said previously, I had no intention of sacking David this season. Subsequently, David, being the great man he is, came to us and made it clear that he needs a break from the rigors of football management.
That's killer. That line.
That's uncanny. I know.
That is killer. Break from the rigors of football management. He's just gone to him and just said, look, I need a break. I can't keep doing this.
It's rigorous.
Hang on, he goes on to say, we discussed making that change immediately, but he also made it clear he would give his all for the rest of the season before departing in the summer if we preferred. We all felt that David staying at the club until the end of the season was best, but we've kept discussions open and we all now feel that the time is right to part ways. Yeah. And finally, that was me, right. But now I'm back to David. I know the term
Dean.
Neutral Dean. Consent, is often a byword for the manager being sacked in professional football, but this is truly a joint decision. David has a real, genuine love for this club, and, like me, his foremost concern in our talks has been to establish what is the best for Huddersfield Town. And you know what? I think that is probably one of the best statements by a chairman.
It's honest, it's real, it's raw, and
it's actually
authentic.
I read that and my heart actually went, and do you know what? I can feel genuinely a sad time for the chairman. They
don't want to do it.
Doesn't want to. No. But I think it is. I believe him. It's a mutual consent.
Some things.
And I think it just, you know, I mean, he won't have any trouble getting another job. Depends. Sounds like he might want to break from football.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to do a Guardiola and a Klopp here, and just he'll go away for a few.
chill for a bit.
There's already rumours, obviously, that Klopp has said wants to take him on at Liverpool's coaching setup while he has a break from being a manager.
They look a little bit similar as well.
Bring him in. Well, they're very, very good friends. They're good friends and they're very close. Good. So he said very.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out soon. But yeah, apparently he's taking him in. In almost the same way, we just jump in slightly ahead just because on that point of him, the rumours him going to Liverpool. Have you heard Karanka, the rumours about Karanka?
Yeah, he quit to go Real Madrid, right?
That's the last time.
As Jose number two?
As Jose's number two. Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard that, yeah.
But they've worked together. They've, you know, friends, worked together before. So.
Just interesting.
Trustworthy,
I know.
Yeah.
But we'll see on that one.
Right.
So, City? Yeah, City trying to get back into the... Well, I say back into it. They're not out of it. What am I on about? Mitchell, think about what you're saying.
You're Pep Guardiola.
Aguero.
Do you see that?
Yeah, synergy right there.
Different
opinions.
Different strikers.
He says Jesus and I said Aguero.
Okay. Why is that? It's probably Aguero. Something to do with fantasy though, right?
No, I'd start Aguero.
I just think Jesus is... He's on form.
Who would you choose in a team though? In a fantasy football team?
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Are you on about
out of those two?
Because Harry Kane
Aguero.
Is no more now.
Fancy football, probably. Aguero.
Yeah. Okay. Aguero.
Because it's the running now of not there's no easy games, but there's just less brutal games.
Yeah.
Easy points in it.
Can I give a prediction?
Go on.
Right. Based on Harry Kane and the injuries, and S even pointing out the stats of his ankle and the performances and things like that.
And the squad.
Threadbare. I'm going to make a prediction about Liverpool. I watched the Liverpool game against Brighton, and Mo Salah went in for a challenge, was challenging for the ball. Just normal, the ball had come in, and he's shoulder to shoulder with the defender, like that. Mm-hmm. And Mo Salah pulls out of it. He, pulls out of it.
Are you Mo Salah?
Like that.
Yeah.
You're both Mo Salah, are you?
You're Egyptian, so...
Yeah. He...
both got beards.
Yeah.
I think he's injured. I think that shoulder's playing more, and I think they're overplaying him, and I think that he might be due an injury soon.
That sounds threatening as well. I'm not happy
Are you threatening?
No, I just think
we've got
this is
camera.
Where City are going to win the title. Mo Salah's going to get injured, Liverpool's wheels will come off, and City will win the league title.
Really? What you're thinking?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I've said it now. can someone summarise up this section of the podcast?
Oh, can I just, before we summarise, I just want to have a little Cardiff City thing, because we are living in Cardiff City, and I think that in itself.
We're living in Cardiff.
We're living in Cardiff, yeah, all around the surrounding areas of Cardiff, but we never actually go into detail of Cardiff right now.
Go on.
Yeah.
I just want to mention not a shout out to Neil Warnock. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to associate this podcast with something along those lines, and no means.
I'm never going to shout out for Neil Warnock.
Myself with Cardiff City. We're still there, but we just...
So you're associated, but also disassociated.
Different opinion. I just want to say that they need a striker. Because we'll go into the nitty-gritty of it later on.
Yeah.
But a 0-0 against Huddersfield, would you consider that a good result?
No, it's an absolute waste.
And there wasn't a shot on target at all.
They're the games they need to be winning.
And
when Cardiff City get relegated, they will look back on that game and go, oh, we should have won that.
And recently, about 3 hours ago, Nantes, they put a tweet out sending a picture of Salah's shirt name as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. To say, you ain't getting any of this.
Watch this space. But in the words of...
Get a striker.
Can I summarise?
Mitch,
summarise. Mark Hudson, caretaker manager of Huddersfield Town, run. Run for your life. You're in trouble.
Get out. Uniting.
Manchester.
How giddy you are. Yeah. I can't stand it. I loved it even more when you were depressed about Manchester.
Yeah.
Lots of things on this. One of them, the sheer enjoyment and how ecstatic the whole back room staff were, as well as Ollie, when, oh right, it was a crazy 1-0 result, which they do crop up time to time. Man United should not have been anywhere near that game. I'm sorry, they should be anywhere near it.
For a lot of it by
Spurs.
That's my
first thing. But like how joyful Ole and the staff were exactly encapsulates how caught unaware they are, because they're like, oh God, this is going to be our first loss. That's cool, we have to do that. But then it's just like...
I did say, and I sent you, I think I put it on our WhatsApp group. I said, I fancy United to do them.
Yeah.
That was two hours before kickoff.
They just come up every now and again.
Just fancied it. I thought it was going to happen, you know?
And it did happen. But what I loved watching,
come on,
and I sent
man,
it to our WhatsApp
you.
Group.
I've never seen you happier.
I sent it to our WhatsApp group within 15 minutes of the game, 20 minutes, and I said, even if we lose this game, it's so enjoyable.
And that's why Ole was so happy as well.
They're playing counter-attack.
It was a great finish. It was a great strong move.
It was amazing. The best thing about the goal was... It wasn't Pogba's ball. It wasn't Rashford's finish. Watch the goal again and watch Rashford's movement. This is what I love about football. I love these things that happen. Is that watch when Lingard receives the ball, Rashford's on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Before Lingard received what he did, Lingard received the ball and he passed it onto Pogba.
Yeah.
Who then hit the ball over that Rashford ran onto. Watch the goal again. Before Lingard receives the ball, Rashford's already off. He literally takes off because he sees where everyone is and knows two moves ahead. Lingard's going to take it on. He's going to pass it to Pogba and Pogba's going to want me there.
Yeah.
Hitting a long ball into
it was
amazing ball, but it was the way that Rashford immediately
knew where to go.
Before Pogba even had the ball, Rashford went, he's going to pass it to me there, I better get there.
And that's such a prime example of footballing brain on display.
It was my favourite part of the game.
And I think it was a really good example of United, because of the fact that they were willing to, you know, say, okay, come at us and we're going to hit you on the counter. It was a great counter to the press of Tottenham. So Tottenham were trying to press United. United were moving the ball much quicker than they have been all season.
Yeah.
Not just laterally as well. Catch them on the counter. Martial was getting a lot of ball. But it just meant that if you're going to come out and press us, and this is something I think we're seeing a lot more with people dealing with the high press, if you're going to come out and press us, we'll hit you on the counter. And that'll give you something else to think about rather than us just worrying about getting the ball clear. And then by the end, it became a bit of a scramble, getting it clear. But what we saw from United this time was a lot more backbone and fight. You had people like, you know, Herrera was going in, scrambling it away. Yeah. You know, the defence much maligned all season, blocking Lindelof, getting blocks in. It was good to see. We've seen this glasses, right?
Man United should have been smashed that game.
Yeah, no, they should
have. Spurs have finished better.
However, they should have. However,
and
that's
we'll get
not
to the next point in a minute.
As a Man United fan, that's not what's exciting. As I've said,
so you're just giddy because everything's.
Said, for the entirety of this podcast's history, I've said I have no problem with Man United losing football matches, as long as I enjoy the game of football, and I've seen us win games since when Jose was in charge. And actually come away from it and go, well, yeah, we won, but I wasn't excited by that. But then I've seen us lose games which we should have won and being like, oh, this is really...
And it was one of the local Manchester reporters who watches Manchester a lot after the Newcastle game made a really good point on Twitter, and I can't remember the journalist's name, but he said that this is exactly the sort of game, this is after the Newcastle game, that United have been losing for the last 12 months because they're not going for it. They're going there not to get beaten.
They get stung, they're playing no worse or better
necessarily than they have done in some of the games overall, but what they're doing is they're trying to win the game and because they're trying to do it, they're nicking these 1-0s now as opposed to going on the other end of them. And you know,
it's no different than seeing Solskjaer come in and be successful and play the style of football that as Man United fans we want to see play. He's basically got them playing the way that Alex Ferguson had them in that quick counter.
Again, we're jumping the gun.
No, my point
really
is...
Really are. Like, honestly, this was the first bigger team which, like, Spurs have their issues.
No, you're missing the point of what I'm making. It's not. It's the style of play. It's no different to when any other club. It's no different to how Arsenal reacted when Thierry Henry came back as a player for a meaningless loan and scored against Leeds. It's no different. That's what happened. But that's true. It's no different to when if John Terry comes back to Chelsea, it will inevitably happen. Yeah, it's no, we've seen it countless. It's no different to Martin O'Neill coming back to Nottingham Forest.
Six games in.
No, what I'm saying, it's nothing to do with him being a success. Personally, I think that he should, at the end of the season, we should all say thank you very much, and we should bring in Ancelotti. That's what
Who doesn't like Ancelotti?
Yeah, that's what I think we should do. Try and tempt him from Napoli and say, bring Koulibaly with you. That's what I think we should do. But I haven't enjoyed watching my club play football for 4 years. So to enjoy watching them play again is joyous. And that's what I like about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Right, okay, so as it goes, right, here's the chart of Man United. Yeah, this is time.
Yeah.
This is enjoyment, yeah. Now we've just like come from down here. Now it's at the top here.
Yeah.
So just enjoy that. Just be present in the moment. Because like obviously
he's been present.
There's going to be a time when, oh shit, oh, stuff going downhill.
And yeah, then
just the ebb and flow. But just enjoy being up here.
This is the most
six
I've
games
enjoyed.
Of yours, because it doesn't take long for people to lose all stability and
a few
lose
of them.
Themselves.
The only way that this can be the
so if
positive
4-0
thing
against
that's happened.
Spurs. If it's 4-0 against Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, and the team played. Like, so if De Gea didn't have the game that he had.
Yeah.
And it was like 4-0.
Interesting a minute with De Gea, actually. Interesting.
I've got loads to say about De Gea.
Obvious,
but what would happen? What would have happened in that alternate where that should have happened? Like, do we all sort of agree that probably, like, if on another
talking
day,
about the
it totally,
it, yeah.
it
oh,
totally could have, it could have done that. It, and, like,
well, look, the narrative,
the goal disallowed, and whatever else, and whatever
the
else.
Narrative that is being sold wouldn't be the same. The narrative would be sold now is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the false dawn, because the first time he came up against a big opponent, he lost. But it's not. It's oh my God, he won six games.
But I also, as well as going back to what I was saying, I saw tactically.
Feel good factor in football means a lot.
Yeah, and all they played a style that the fans are enjoying to watch. Plus, like I said, tactically, he looked like he'd said, right, if you're going to press us, we'll counter you. So, yeah, they may have lost 2-1. But I think it showed a bit of astute tactical awareness from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where you wouldn't necessarily just say, oh yeah, they lost, we expected them to lose, it's the first test they've had and they've lost. But there would still be, I think, positives to take from it anyway.
Yeah.
But they won it.
They're
going to win another.
De Gea, the saviour and lord.
Yeah.
He's just class, isn't he?
He had a great game, it all worked out for him.
It did.
Someone summarise this.
Okay.
Renaissance of Man United.
Nice.
Just a B word. B.
Yeah.
But what's the first thing that comes to mind? But.
Boat.
Like an exit.
Bart Simpson, because he mentioned it earlier. Do you Bowie. Mention Simpsons?
Bonobo.
Bonanza. Bielsa.
Bielsa, that's a good one. What about like.
Bob's your uncle.
Oh, that's another one, isn't it? What about Britain and exit?
Brexit.
Oh, right. Bring them together. That's what happens.
Fusion. Do you know what you should never bring together? The subject of Brexit and Neil Warnock.
Probably not.
They're going to make a worse combination than cheese and salt.
So
no one puts
Mitch,
them together.
If you were press, how would tell me? Okay. Show me the face. So I'm Neil Warnock.
You're Neil Warnock. Yeah.
I'm Neil Warnock.
Like, I'd say Mitchell Gadd from the County Gazette Press.
No, you're working for Man. You're working for Cardiff City. You're in the press offices.
Oh, okay.
And I just said. I think Brexit's great, and I can't wait for it.
I said, Neil, stick to the key messages.
I can't
Neil,
wait.
Neil, stick to the key.
I can't wait.
Do you know what I would say? Do you know the first thing I would say? I'd go, when you're saying, and I quote, to hell with the rest of the world, like Neil Warnock did, if I'm Cardiff City, I'd say, you sat there with a shirt that says Visit Malaysia on it. You're in a stadium that says Visit Vietnam. Tiananmen Island.
Quality
street. Yeah.
And you're saying, to hell with the rest of the world. That goes quite against our aim here, Mitch.
They did.
Steady on, Mitch.
Neil.
I don't want your Brexit here right now.
Listen, Neil. Enough. Out of it. But yeah, I'd say, Neil, mate, we're trying to encourage people to travel.
I saw a fantastic tweet of just all that. Like, the Malaysian owners.
Yeah.
Like, Visit Vietnam.
Yeah, I know.
The players that you've got.
Yeah.
Neil. Just say it, tell about the game. You don't have to go into that.
No one wants to know about
asking you about transfers.
Is all British team next week?
The report was just like, what, even football, even transfers? Like, yep, absolutely. Even, yeah, better. Make it all better. Yeah. But I just got to say how well Cardiff City actually handled that. Big up to Cardiff City.
Cardiff City did really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll work in their favour. It'll work massively in their favour when Neil Warnock leaves them at the end of the season, regardless if they stay up or not.
Well, I don't think, like, this has sort of swayed my vote a little bit.
I think this is his last club, and I think he'll leave this summer. I really do. Well, right, should we?
There we are.
Can someone give me a summary of this section?
Okay, so Cardiff City fighting Brexit. One more thing I want to mention. I want to mention Sunderland Till I Die, the latest and greatest Netflix documentary, which shows a perfect, poignant insight to the world of football the likes fans never see. I enjoy this on a number of different levels. It's beautifully shot. There's a few things that grind my gears, crank my yank, and it just
they're cranking
yank. It cranks my yank in equal measure to grind my gears. So the two together, like, it's wonderfully shot. It is wonderfully shot. The intro, the song, the music at the beginning does my head in every time it starts.
That is my favourite part.
Does it do your head in right from the beginning?
Yeah, ever since.
What did you think of it, honestly?
What, the intro?
Yeah.
Love it. Love this music, love the way it's like supposed to be, like, it looks like True Detective.
Right.
The intro is
honestly, it's like Titanic.
Right, no,
I think they make it.
At the first episode of Titanic, I genuinely went, that's a great intro. The second time I watched it, I went, that intro's got to stop.
I loved it, but I think it was like the second or third one where, like, grabbing, I think the second one's taking a penalty, they stop it and then they play the intro. I loved it. I thought it was class.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's fantastic because it's like the QPR documentary. It's like we get a pure insight to both sides of it, and it's just there on film of how interactions happen. You forget the human nature of the actual players themselves, how far removed they are from actual reality, how much money goes into the game, how much they actually get paid, the impact of a community, as well as the impact of how much, where passion meets business. I think it's a really insightful documentary on a number of different levels.
Right, let's not forget, this is not the first successful documentary and great Sunderland documentary that there is in existence, because you have the exceptional Premiership Passions back in the day with Peter Reid in charge. And the way I described it to someone I know who hasn't watched it, he went, I was like, do you remember Premiership Passions? And he was like, not really. And I explained it to him, and he was like, he sort of remember Peter Reid shouting in a dressing room. So I was like, watch it on YouTube. Premiership Passions, it's all on there. Watch the 6 episodes, and that's a football club that didn't know what would happen when they invited a film crew in behind the scenes.
They had no idea how it
and
worked.
And I was like, imagine
they're
that.
Completely unaware.
It's the complete opposite, this new one. They brought them in, and then you do stuff like you bring in a new striker on transfer deadline day, and as chief executive, you slam the door of your office in his face because you've just been told Jack Rodwell's decided to stay at the club.
Yeah.
Imagine being that young striker just like, what's going on?
He was right there.
Chris Coleman, who refused to be in it when he came in originally.
Yeah.
He went, no, I'm not being filmed. And they went, you kind of have to. It's contractual. They're filming the season. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in it. Well, you're the manager, Chris. You have to be in it. That should be noted. You know, when people look back on that season for Sunderland.
I love Cookie and Kit in that.
Kit Simons and Chris Coleman were put under a massive amount of pressure. It shows you. Why you can't just go, that manager's rubbish, he should be sacked.
I think that's the one thing you take away from it. There's absolutely so much constraints and things you have to take on board.
It's one of the reasons why I enjoyed watching it on numerous different sides. Those little intricacies, those little moments, like you said, like the Lewis Graban thing.
Yeah.
Of, he had a massive issue. I've got an issue with his beard on that. I don't know why. I'm sure it looks lovely. But off the back of him being pulled 65 minutes, and he was just nonchalant, like, come here to play. It's like, you're playing? Like, he's the most transferred, loaned out striker that I've ever had. And, he's a good striker, but if you get subbed on, 65, and you think, that's it. But the other aspect of it is he needed an arm around in the same way Johnny needed
Williams,
an arm run, which I love that about Johnny. He's so heartfelt and open and authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
really
so refreshing to see. And it's just one of those things he bared what he said. So I like it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Let us know what you think. But I enjoyed the actual
documentary. But can I just say, it's not the best football documentary ever. Big Ron Manager, best documentary.
That's more of a show, though.
4-year plan.
Four-year plan or this. Four-year plan. I think we need a summary.
Too Good to Go Down, the recent one on BT, was very good.
4-year plan's good, but...
Have you seen Too Good to Go Down on BT Sport? The season Man United got relegated.
I haven't seen that, no.
That's very good. Right. Anyway.
Summary.
Away, man.
Right, this is the intro. Let's just get it down, shall we? We've all had fun. We've all had a great time.
Can anyone summarise this podcast?
Yeah. Lots of talk about football. Intelligent.
16 out of 10.
16 out of 10, yeah. All right.
That's how I summarise it, I think. It's number 69 in the can.
Cactus.
Yeah.